Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad to have you listening today. Well, if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with Wintley Phipps. He is a man of God. I am telling you, we had a powerful conversation about following God's calling for your life and cultivating an attitude of expectancy and even character so that you can walk out God's promises for your life. That whole conversation is up on our website at myfaithradio.com. In just a moment, you'll hear my very powerful conversation with my friend Ann Voskamp about the hope and the expectancy we have around the holidays, especially Christmas. I have a few quick announcements first. I got to say, big shout out and a thank you for your involvement in the great giveaway. It was such a powerful program, and we loved hearing how God prompted you to bless someone else with $15 or whatever's in your hand. You know, it was an inspiration, and I know God used you in a significant way to minister to others. I want to challenge you and challenge myself as well. Let's be generous all year long. Let's be interruptible. Let God direct us, and let's follow his prompting to be flow-through accounts of his blessings to a world very much in need, even if that means going out of our comfort zone on occasion. Another note I want to make is that next week is our year in review programs. I'll be taking your calls and would love to know what God has done in your life in 2015. What are you believing him for in 2016? We'll spend some time in the Word and looking at the promises of God, and I pray it will be an encouragement for you. There's a marvelous verse in the Psalms that says God has caused his wonders to be remembered, and that there's power when we can look back and remind ourselves of his faithfulness. So be thinking about your year, maybe even a word to describe 2015. And together, we'll look back so that we can move forward. That is coming up this Monday. Next week is also Christmas. And so as we approach that special day, I want to ask you what theme or aspect of the story stands out to you most. Maybe it's the anticipation that Mary felt. Maybe it's the loneliness she may have experienced as she was rejected and whispered about by those in her town. Maybe it's the joy of the angels at the birth of our Savior. I challenge you just to take some time this season to meditate on the hope that we have in Christ and the Christmas story itself. Even take out a journal and write a bit about what God's been showing you these days. If you'd like some direction, go to myfaithradio.com and listen to my recent conversation with Liz Curtis Higgs about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how God used her in the Christmas narrative. And finally, just want you to know that we love to pray for you. If you have any special prayer requests or updates, I want to invite you to post them on PrayerWorks. Go to myfaithradio.com, click on the tab that says Pray. You can submit a prayer, and guess what? You'll get an email notification every time someone sees your note and prays for you. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get her on the show. Ann Voskamp is a farmer's wife, the home educating mama to half a dozen exuberant kids, and the author of the New York Times bestsellers, 1,000 Gifts and the Greatest Gift, and has been named by Christianity Today as one of 50 women most shaping culture in the church today. She's a global advocate for Compassion International, and her blog is one on the top of the 10 most widely read Christian blogs online. You can find her resources on her influencer page at our website, myfaithradio.com. Dear sweet Ann, welcome back to the program.
Oh, warm wave from the farm, Miss Susie.
Oh, so good to be with you today. And as you know, you've been on the show plenty of times. We love to start out talking scripture, and you chose 2 Corinthians 9:15. This just made me smile, and I thought, of course Ann picked this verse. It says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Talk about that passage and why you chose it.
Oh, I just... Scripture tells us that all things are from him and through him and to him, that everything we have is a gift from God, is constant grace to us, and that we then might become praise and make our lives a gift back to him. Really, when you think about counting 1,000 gifts, it's really giving thanks for one gift alone, Christ himself. And these Christmas books talking about the greatest gift, again and again, just to, for me to be on my knees in wonder and anticipation and expectation and awe that Jesus Christ is the greatest gift, the most unspeakable gift, that he would give himself to me.
Yeah.
I'm rendered speechless.
Yes. Wow. Well, for those, Anne, who have not heard our previous conversations, would you do us the honor of just giving us some backstory on your life, and especially when Jesus really became your all in all?
Oh, Susie, yes. My first memory is when I'm 4 years old. My sister was killed, run over in front of my mother and I, who were standing at the kitchen sink. My little sister Amy was run over by a truck out in the laneway. And that was sort of the moment that our hands snapped shut to any notion of grace. Mm-hmm. And I think I lived through my growing up years into my teen years with some kind of cerebral knowledge and understanding of God. Made a verbal commitment to God, made Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. But it wouldn't be until after I was married and wrestling through deep, hard things, but really wrenching my hand open again, Susie, to say, Lord, I trust you enough with my life that I will live open-handed and receive everything that you give as a gift, as grace, because you love me. And it really, it was about moving that cerebral understanding of God down from my head down into my heart to understand that God is always good. That wasn't just a cerebral understanding, but my heart understood it. And that my heart understood I am always loved, that everything he gives, it is good, it is gift, it is Christ. And he's doing it because he loves me, to refine me and make me more into the image of God. Once I really started to grasp that, Susie, and I'm still in process. Just the other day I was actually preaching it out loud to myself. I was very uptight about a situation, and I kept saying it. God is always good, and I am always loved. When I stay in that space and preach gospel back to myself, I can always trust. There's nothing to be afraid of. Underneath of those everlasting arms, if he's given, Romans 8:32 is my life verse, if he's given me Christ, is there anything else that he will withhold from me that I need? Right. Nothing at all. I can completely trust him. So I've wrestled with agoraphobia and anxiety and just depression. And how do I stay in a space of that vertical presence with God all the time? And for me, really, Susie, it has been counting all the ways he loves me, counting those gifts, staying in a place of constant gratitude is a way for me to pray unceasingly and to stay in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And I can only enter into his presence through those gates of thanksgiving. So that's where I just daily wrestle it out and try to live in that space, Miss Susie.
I love it. God is always good, and I'm always loved. Maybe you needed to hear that today. God is always good, and you are always loved.
And always loved.
One of my favorite places to go is in Ephesians, where it says, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness. And we try to fill ourselves with so many things, and they might feel like they leave us full for a moment, but they don't satisfy and they don't nourish us. But to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. And when God issued you the invitation, Anne, to start opening your eyes and to be to thank him, there's a risk involved when your heart's been broken. But as I've read what you've written, you've really found that he's even better than you know, haven't you?
Oh, so much richer. And I think when you start to write down the gifts, you start to see the heart of the giver. And it's the heart of the giver that you fall in love with and are overwhelmed by. Actually, for the month of November, I decided to kickstart it again. Susie, could I record 1,000 gifts just during the month of November?
Wow.
And you know what? I was overwhelmed again by the sense of his presence everywhere. I could read scripture and write down in my gratitude journal, gift after gift after the riches of Christ that we find in scripture, that you can number them one by one by one, and they add up. It's been the most life-changing experience to realize God's love is infinite and relentless, and he is the hound of heaven who will come after you and never let you go.
Indeed. And to have a thankful heart, I've always said that gives us keen spiritual eyes to see. When we start to praise and give thanks, our eyes open and our ears open. And on the flip side, when we embrace a heart of ingratitude, a heart that says, I deserve more than God is giving me, we shut our eyes off. We can't see our circumstances. We can't see the kingdom in those circumstances. Wouldn't you agree?
I think, that's exactly it. When we go back to Genesis and we look at the fall, our fall really was ingratitude. What God gave us was not enough. We wanted the thing, the one thing in that garden he said we couldn't have, that's the thing we wanted. It was discontentment, and Satan stirs that discontentment up in us all of the time, especially as we move into the holidays, the holy days. And I just think it's so appropriate, Susie, that, you know, the gateway into Advent, into Christmas and the holidays is Thanksgiving. And if we can stay in a place of joy is always possible whenever Thanksgiving is possible. So then as I move into the holidays, when I start to feel the stress and the anxieties and the discontentment build up around me, all I need to do to get back to joy, go back to that gateway. Where's Thanksgiving? There's always, always, always something to be thankful for. So go back and start to count all of God's good gifts and be ushered into his presence. And you know what? That changes the holidays because it keeps our focus on what's holy, God's presence and his love for us.
And so maybe you're in a place where you feel broken. You feel like your bank account is empty and you're maybe kind of turned upside down as you watch the perfect Christian commercials. This doesn't cost money, and it's priceless beyond measure. To remember, as Anne was saying, preach the gospel to yourself. God is always good. I'm always loved. Joy is always possible whenever Thanksgiving is possible, and it's always possible. Well, here's a quote from your beautiful Advent book. You wrote, "Your story begins with a kiss." Mm-hmm. That's how God made people. He gathered up some dust and dirt. Then the one real God, the Father, King of the universe, knelt close. And closer until his very breath breathed on your skin, and his love and life filled us until we were warm and fully alive. Your story begins with a kiss because your Father King knows that the greatest gift your heart really wants and needs is love, to feel the safe forever warmth of his love. And can you say more about that, especially for someone who maybe has not equated God in heaven with love?
Oh, Susie, I think, you know, that's why I wanted the story. To start exactly where Scripture begins is that you begin with a kiss. And I think so often, sometimes we, our idea of God is a lot of intimidation. We are intimidated by God's perfect holiness and purity. And we're very aware that we have fallen short, that we've messed things up. We feel too broken and too messy to come into his presence. That's for people who have it all together. Guess what? Mm-hmm. None of us have it all together. None of us. We're all messy. We all have lots of dirt and regrets and sin underneath our fingernails. All of us have closets right stuffed of skeletons, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And to know that, you know what? God isn't about intimidation. He's about intimacy. And I think that's why he comes as a baby. He comes small and fragile, not to intimidate us, not to scare us. Who can resist a baby? A baby always, we were drawn to babies to come closer, to come near. Jesus wants us to know that during the holidays, during Christmas, as we enter into a new year, that we might be changed as we draw near to him and have intimacy with him. His love is, all of us were really only changed by love.
That's right.
And you know what? Romans tells us that when we were sinners, Christ loved us. When we didn't have our acts together, when we were messes, Christ loved us in that place. So to know that, you know what? Your story begins with a kiss. Your story begins with God loving you when you had it all messed up. And Jesus' love on that cross, when he stretched his arms out so wide and said, "I love you this much," that's what changes us and ushers us in to a new story and the change we've always dreamed of.
Love it. Having a great conversation with my friend Anne Voskamp about Advent. We'll be right back.
One of my favorite Christmas traditions is we get an ornament. Each of the kids gets an ornament every year. of something like special in their life that year.
My favorite Christmas memory is always watching Elf on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
One of my favorite Christmas memories is eating cheese and chocolate fondue on Christmas Eve with the family and close friends.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Ann Voskamp. She's got a beautiful book on Advent. Big, beautiful book. You could just usher in the Advent season with your family. It's called Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, a family celebration of Christmas. Christmas, and one thing we were talking about before, when you preach the gospel to yourself and that you say and remind your soul that God is always good and I am always loved. You know, when you think about the holiday season, oftentimes it's the best of times and it's the worst of times, because there's such a festivity to just, and there's an openness to talk about the Christ child. But when you start to see everybody else's celebrations and the seemed blessings in their lives, and you contrast it with the broken heart and the messy insides, you find a great gap. So what can you say to that person who's maybe noticing that my insides fall far short of everybody else's outsides, and you know what I'm saying, and everything feels so broken for me?
Can I just tell that person, you're all alone? I'm waving my hand. Me too. Me too. I think, you know what, that's why I love this idea of unwrapping the greatest gift, because really the book is, it's really a larger-than-life Advent story. You open it up every day, the 25 days of Advent, it's like opening up 25 stories, telling the family tree of Jesus from his creation to his coming. And guess what? That family tree is messy, and it's broken, and it's got liars and cheaters and people who were Weasley sneakers, and it was just, it was a mess. And you know what? I relate to that brokenness. The story really is about the Jesse tree, and that goes back and then tells Jesse is one of the ancestors of Jesus, and his story was so, that family tree was so messed up, it was actually like a cut off tree stump, just hacked down because it was just so bad, didn't seem to have any future. I'm like, oh, I can relate to that. But out of that stump comes this shoot, this unfurling green shoot of new life, of new hope, and that hope is Jesus. So all of these stories throughout the Old Testament, going back through Jesus' family tree, shows that Jesus takes the liars and the cheaters, the people broken and the people forgotten, the people that feel like nobody sees me, I'm not important, I'm too messed up, and I just want to give up. But Jesus picks those people and grabs them in to his family tree and claims those people as his. All we need to do is say, yes, I will take you, Jesus, as mine. And I think, you know, that's today actually is each of those stories has a symbol, an ornament that you can hang on the tree. And today for December 1st, the ornament is that stump cut off with that sprout growing out of it of hope. And it does. It echoes that first Sunday of Advent is hope. And I think, you know, the mattering part is not that we have a cut-off stump. The mattering part is that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And I just think that family line, it's like all of these people testify, Abraham, Ruth, Jonah, Job. It's like each of them are reporting back to us through these stories that we've hit the bottom and we can report to you the bottom is solid. No matter the depth of your darkness, the depth of the hole you feel yourself in, if you stick with God, the bottom is solid. The tree always holds you. You're safe. And I think, you know, hope in a world of problems is ultimately found in the solution of his presence. And this book ushers you into his presence, story after story throughout the Old Testament, that gives you hope. You know what? Jesus is in the midst of my problems, and the solution to my problems is found in the solution of his presence.
The solution of my problems is found in the solution of his presence. And what's amazing about this book, Anne, is you see the kingdom story, and then you see that I'm a part of the kingdom story.
Yes.
I'm grafted in to the family of God.
I think, you know, that's the most exciting part, is this story isn't a once-upon-a-time story, like a fairy tale. This is better than a fairy tale. This whole story is true. This is the king that came for you to rescue you and bring you into the kingdom. It really is unwrapping the greatest gift, and it's all for us. I can't get over the wonder of it.
I can't either. Here's a quote, as you were saying, God doesn't cut off all the big cheaters, the bad liars, the Weasley sneakers, the battling brothers, the fighting families and brokenhearted from his family tree. He makes families just like these perfectly his. He adopts all the messy and broken and imperfect people into his tree and his story and his heart, and he gives us his family name. He gives us his absolute perfectness and makes us alive and fully free. I would love for you to talk about even just, I mean, what the journey's been like for you, Anne, in these last few years. I know when you have such explosive success, people start to pull on you, and you have a broader platform, but we are in a day where people are very open, too, with their critique. How do you stay tucked in the shadow of his wing and say, I'm identified by being his and his alone? I can't be all things to all people, but I am his, and that's where my story starts and ends. I mean, how do you do that?
I think, you know what, ultimately, Susie, it's constantly preaching gospel back to yourself, that there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. It's going ahead and doing exactly what Unwrapping the Greatest Gift is about. It's staying in the story, so that when I go ahead and there are loud voices around you, lots of times, you know what, loud voices in my own head saying that, you know, you've messed this up. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. That's what he does. He tries to prosecute you and get you to sort of prosecute and judge everything else around you. And to go ahead and silence that, the lie, really, in my head and my heart. How do I stay in story throughout the holidays? How do I stay in the story in my life day in and day out? And that really just comes by, for us as a family, we read scripture after every meal around the table. And you know what? That, please, that does not look pretty and all serene. It looks messy and loud, and we can be cantankerous and chafing against each other and miserable. And you know what? That Jesus came for us. We can come just as we are, and then he meets us where we are, and then he changes us and turns us towards him. So it's really coming messy and coming broken, and how do I just day in and day out stay in the story? That's reading scripture. That's memorizing scripture. That's gathering as a family and just doing exactly this, unwrapping the greatest gift, opening up his word and reading the story and saying, oh, you know what? I really identify with this messed up person in scripture. Look how God met that person and touched that person and drew them into himself and changed them and gave them a new name, a new identity, and called them beloved.
And you think of who he grafts into the family of God. He lets us see that story so that we know that there's a place for us at the table of grace. And what a gift that is. Talking to Anne Voskamp about her beautiful book, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, A Family Celebration of Christmas. Go out and get a copy. And you know what? You might be, if you get it today, you're right on track, okay? But even if you get it tomorrow, you go through the Advent season with the family, you will love it. More with Anne Voskamp in just a moment.
Ornaments on the tree. I remember when I was a kid, we used to do it and have like glazed donuts and sort of get lost. If I eat one, then I'm probably going to eat at least eight as we put on the ornaments together. It was really fun.
I have a really big family. My mom has 14 brothers and sisters. My dad has 9. So we usually rent out a gym or something like that to get together, and it's still packed. So it's a lot of fun just to be around everybody and see everybody.
You know, a great idea to usher in this holiday season is worship. Listen to songs like this every day. Emmanuel, God with us. Worship him. Thank him. Reach out to somebody who doesn't have a kind of family maybe that you do. Invite him over for dinner. Invite him for Christmas. But open your eyes to see the kingdom of God in your midst. God is moving. and he wants to move in and through you. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I'm so honored and blessed to have my dear sister Ann Voskamp on the show today. And she's written a beautiful Advent book. It really is a work of art. It's called Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, A Family Celebration of Christmas. Here's a quote. Jesus comes right to your Christmas tree, and he looks at your family tree and says, I am your rescuer. I will set you free from all the brokenness and sinfulness and sadness. I'll be the gift, and I'll take you. Will you take me? Love that, Anne. It's so beautiful. Anne, if someone asked you who had no context, no faith context, and said, what is Advent? How would you answer that question?
Advent. You know what? My background had nothing to do with Advent at all. We go to a church that's a non-denominational, definitely a low church that doesn't really follow a church calendar per se. So I'm sort of in that person's boots. So I totally get the question. Advent it comes from the Latin, and it means coming. And it really is a season of waiting for Christ's coming. And ultimately, we're actually, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're actually the perpetual Advent people. We are constantly waiting for his second coming, the second Advent. And so during the month of December, those 25 days moving towards Christmas, it really is a time to hush all the hurry and enter into the holy, where we can go ahead and say, you know what, Lord, I am waiting for you. Come and meet me right where I am, in my woundedness, in my brokenness, in my overwhelmedness. Mm. I want to be overcome with your love. Maybe it's just as simple as that, Susie.
Yeah. You know, getting up in the wee hours of the morning, opening the Bible in your lap, having your warm cup of coffee or whatever it is, and look out the window and just say, Word of God, speak. I mean, giving him time and space to speak to us, to me, is the most sacred thing. Go ahead.
Exactly. You know what? Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming to us. And Christmas for us is about doing whatever it takes so that we can come to Jesus. So where do you find that pause during this, all of the rush and the pace of everything to meet Jesus? Actually, Susie, I keep it on the windowsill in the kitchen during the month of Advent, December, little Scrabble letters, and they spell pace, P-A-C-E, and it makes me think about the holiday pace of everything. But if I can take those letters and just put a little bit of space between those words that spell pace, take that E for Emmanuel, God with me, and make a space for the E, Emmanuel. I take the pace of everything, and I have peace.
Yeah.
So it's this visual reminder to me during the season. Every time I start to feel the crush of the pace of everything, okay, Anne, where can you just pause and take a deep breath, make some space in the pace for Emmanuel? And therein is peace. I think, you know, so often we think peace is a place we have to get to. And no, Scripture tells us over and over again, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, the Lord of peace himself gives you peace at all times in every situation. So I think, you know, the holidays is really a time where I'm going to wage peace in every situation.
Oh, that is such a good word. And think about that, the word pace on your windowsill with a big E right there, making room for Emmanuel. He's made room for us, boy. And I'm wondering if you'd speak to that person and listening who maybe who had an initial faith conversion experience in their younger years, but have just wandered going their own way. You wrote in your beautiful book that his love never stops dreaming of a way to draw us close again. Just talk about the Father's heart and how he goes after those who are wandering, and maybe a word of encouragement for that person listening today.
Oh, yes. You know, when I think about us wandering, oh, my own soul is wander, Lord. I'm prone to feel it all of the time. Mm. We think of the prodigal son who has wandered away from his father and went off to that far land to find whatever his heart desired, because it wasn't at home with his father. But honestly, the Lord is still standing on the front porch with his neck craning and straining, looking for your return. And when we think about that word prodigal, it means lavish and extravagant. And we tack that word onto the son who's gone and lavishly and extravagantly blown the father's inheritance. But really, ultimately, the father is the prodigal in the sense that he is the one who is so lavish and extravagant in his love. He's waiting for us to return and to bless us beyond comprehension. And before we can even get a word out, we see that in the scriptures, before the son can even get a word out of defense or how he's messing, the father's already hushed him and just wants to lavish his love on him. Go begin the great party. The one he loves has come home. Mm-hmm. So to always know that, you know what, as we have wandered, the Lord is not angry. He is not frowning. And if we turn around and wherever we are, we can always make U-turns. Grace always allows U-turns. If we turn to a face that is smiling, to a heart that's wide open, and arms that say, come just as you are and let me love you right where you are. He is the prodigal father, the lavish, extravagant father to all of our prodigal wandering.
So good. Okay, here's another great passage from your devotional. The moment the Sun King inhaled earth air into his lungs, the blinding light of history slashed back the smothering dark, and the Sun King brought joy from beyond the walls of the world. And shepherds lying out on those same Bethlehem hills saw the sky bursting with a blinding star over little Bethlehem. What a beautiful picture. Talk about this, the significance of that for us today. Because so often you hear these stories read at Christmas time, and they sound just like that, beautiful stories. But it's not old news. It's now news. It's good news.
I never get over it, Susie. Us living in the shadow of death, living in darkness. On us, a great light has dawned. You know what, Susie? That happens for me every morning. Mm. Every single morning. You know what? The good news isn't for bad people to be made good. It's for dead people to be made alive.
Amen.
I come from the dark into the light every day. His mercies are new every morning. Really, literally, as you read that, it's heart fireworks for me. That he would, I can literally feel the warmth when you think about the darkness we have lived in without him. And the warmth of his love really is that bright sun that just raises us up again into his presence. And, you know, I think of it every year as we get closer to Christmas Eve. We are that blue dot, that little blue dot in this grand expanse of the universe. And Carl Sagan, who was an astronomer, he said, you know what? When he saw that little blue dot, us in this vast blackness, he said, there is no one come to save us. And oh, the good news is God came to that little blue dot in the universe. He came to earth to rescue us and to save us and to be that bright light in all of the darkness, to cast his warmth upon our souls and to revive us.
And isn't it something, Anne, how he was born into poverty? I mean, in all the ways that he met us on planet Earth, he identified himself with the least of these, with the lost, with the marginalized, really in so many ways to draw attention to say, I'm here for you. I mean, you know, when you look at all the ways he could have come, the way that many expected him to come, and yet he came in such a different way. Talk about just that and the extravagance of that, really.
And, you know, he had come in this blazing light, and he was that, tangibly, physically, literally, but he comes as his baby, because you know what? Vulnerability is what we need for intimacy. So when he comes vulnerable, naked and small as a baby, we're farmers. We know what a barn smells like. And the stench of that, he comes right into our mire and our muck. He comes small so that we can come close. He comes naked so we can come near. Jesus comes in the flesh so we can come without fear, right up close to him. And I think, you know, I don't get over every Christmas, Susie, the vulnerability of God coming as a baby shows how desperate he is for real, genuine intimacy with us.
Personal relationship. Well, one of the readings from your book, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, you explore the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And I love this. You wrote, when we've fallen and when we're lost, God comes with one question, not the question, what did you do wrong? The very first God question, it's a love question howling out of God's heart. It's, where are you? And explain why that question is so significant.
Oh, I'm going to tear up here. Oh, you know what? That's the question. Where are you? Not what have you done? Not what have you messed up? Not what have you got wrong? Because you know what? My mother said it to me 1,000 times growing up. It's not that you aren't going to get it wrong. It's what you do with it afterwards. Mm. And that's exactly it. When we get it wrong and we mess up and we fall, God doesn't come and say, what have you done? He says, where are you? Afterwards, when we've messed it up, come to the Father. Let him go ahead and be that balm of Gilead who wraps our wounds, who bandages the hurting places, touches our scars with his scars. He knows exactly what that pain is like. He is our wounded healer. So for us to know that, you know, I am going to get it wrong, especially in this, all of the expectations at Christmas time. There's going to be times I wander and I fall. And when I mess things up, it's to turn and know that Jesus isn't saying, what have you done? It's just, where are you? Come close. Come back to me. Come be in my presence so that I can be the gift to you.
Mm. Well, Anne, you have six kids at home. You live on a farm. You're married to a dear farmer. You've got a lot going on under that roof.
Yeah.
How do you, what are some of the things you as a family do? Just, I know you do this Jesse tree in this, and you really do mark this season. Any other things that just sort of help you, not only as a woman who's a Christ follower, but as a mother and a wife, as you get your arms around your family to commemorate this season?
You know, I think it, for me, I just try to think all the time, three things, Susie, just three, really, I'm not, I have chronic soul amnesia. I forget all the time. I have to keep the gospel back to myself. So I have to keep it really simple. Three simple things. Number one, how do I stay in the story? Just keep my family all the time. Stay in the story. Stay in scripture over and over and over again. How can I go ahead and stay still? Just time and again, whether it's still life in my soul, make a still space in the house where there's, right now it's the mantle for us, so I just have the nativity scene on the mantle. So stay in the story, stay still. A still life somewhere in the house to remind me to still my heart. Light the candles around the nativity so that when I start to feel overwhelmed, I can turn to that still life somewhere in the house, be it on a mantle, on a shelf, wherever, just to go ahead and remind myself, okay, be still and know that God is God and he's in control. And number three, how can I stay serving? Whether that's serving something simple out of my kitchen, how can I grab my children and stay serving in our own community? Small, simple things that might be a thank you note to somebody, putting a thank you, a basket of thank you notes at the front door and see if we can write out all of those thank you notes during the month of December. Actually, last week I just wrote on the blog, the Grateful Christmas Project, 7 ways to have more grateful kids during Christmas. Just really simple things for us to stay serving, because really if we want our kids to have the habit of gratitude, we need to be in the habit of giving. So really that's where we try to keep our focus, is how can we serve? So really just stay in the story, stay still, and that's really, I can't go ahead and change my circumstances. Simplicity really isn't about changing the circumstances. It's about changing my focus. So if I want a simple Christmas, it's about simply focusing on Christ. And if I know that Christmas really is about Jesus, there's no stress at all involved when I know it's all about Jesus. If it's all about Jesus, there can't be any stress involved. So if I've got stress entering somewhere along a line, I've lost what the real purpose is here. So staying still and then staying serving, whether it's serving kids the treats from the kitchen, something simple and easy, brownies, or whether how can we stay serving in our community, and just that giving heart gives us the gift of joy.
So good. How can I stay in the story? How can you stay in the story? Remember that God is writing and grafting you into the greater kingdom story. How can you stay still? Is there even a place in your house where you can be still and remember and know that he is God? And how can you stay serving and be looking for ways that God would want to use you in the life of somebody else? When we come back, I've got more questions for my friend Anne Voskamp. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Setting up the Christmas tree with family is always a fun one, and just singing songs and stuff with the family, I think, is really important for me. So,
pretty much my family's Christmas just revolves around food. So, yeah. Everyone brings a ton of food. We bake a lot. My aunts bake a lot. Eat a lot of cookies. Definitely the Christmas cookies, the cutouts with the frosting, decorate them together. That's really fun.
Yes, we are. My family always gets together at my grandparents' house, and all of my... everybody on my dad's side of the family is there, and we open presents together, and then we go out ice fishing. And I guess that's what I always think of when I think of Christmas time with the family.
Talking to Ann Voskamp today and before the break, she said, you want to keep Christmas simple? Ask yourself this. How can I stay in the story, that greater story that God is writing? How can I stay still? Can you find moments to be still? Know that He is God, and how can I stay serving? You know, Ann, you wrote in your wonderful book, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift, you wrote that miracles happen whenever we speak words that make souls stronger. And I would love for you to talk about the gift of encouragement that we can actually give in lavish amounts, even if we've no money to buy expensive gifts. In fact, you can't buy a miracle anyway. So imagine the miracle that you could be a conduit for if you start to speak words that make souls stronger. Talk about that.
Oh, I say that. That's one line I say all the time to the kids, to each other, and to me, to remind myself, only speak words that make souls stronger. Only speak words that edify each other, coming from Ephesians. That, you know, how can we go ahead, really, no matter what everyone is saying, the kids are saying when they're chafing against each other and struggling, no matter what frustrated people out in the byways are saying throughout the month of December, really, the only thing everyone is always saying is, I just want you to love me. So how can I go ahead and only speak words that make souls stronger? How can I go ahead and bless them in the Lord? How can I go ahead and look for the small ways God is working in them and changing them? How can I think of a way to just go ahead and bless the mailman who comes to the door? Bless the guy, the UPS fellow that just is knocked at the front door. Think of ways where I can just sometimes, you know what, somebody down in the trenches, that cashier who has worked at a long 8-hour day and it's been so hard, just to smile and say, you just radiate today. Thank you for serving me so well. Those words of encouragement, really, they go ahead and plant seeds that grow much larger things in hearts. And actually, they grow in some pretty dry, parched places, actually, where we just need just somebody to go ahead and be the hands and feet and the mouth of Jesus to us.
You know, Ann, we've done this thing every year for a number of years on the show, and each year it picks up speed. It's called The Great Giveaway. We start November 18th. We end on my birthday on December 18th, where we give people a month. We kind of send them out on a mini mission trip and say, do the best thing you can with $15. And if you don't have $15, do the best you can with whatever's in your hand, but get outside your comfort zone and engage in random acts of kindness and purposeful acts for people who can't pay you back. And then on the 18th, everybody kind of comes back from the mission field, so to speak, and they call in with their stories. And I'm telling you what, I mean, things happen all over the world because of people, our listeners, engaging. In fact, we got somebody who signed up from Mumbai this year, believe it or not. Isn't that amazing? But I'm thinking about this as you talk about one of the questions you ask at the end of each of your readings. You have questions that are thought-provoking. And this one you said, who in your life needs to know that God loves them? And I'm imagining this army of believers going, I'm going to roll up my sleeves. I'm going to reach out to that person who rings up my groceries every week or whatever. And you surprise them with a blessing. Sometimes that can be a necessary miracle in their lives, can it?
Oh, I've often thought, you know, Christmas for me really is the great giveaway. Jesus comes and gives himself to us. Mm. And then how do we all turn around and give his love back in 1,000,000,000 beautiful little ways? And just think, we get to actually live out the joy. It is greater to give than to receive. And for our kids to catch that kind of excitement and joy, for us to go ahead all the way through 2 weeks before Advent, we start with all of the Compassion Catalog, Samaritan's Purse Catalog, Open Up the World Vision Catalog, all of these catalogs, and how can we go ahead and give to the least of these because it's giving to Jesus? When really, there is nothing greater than us getting to be the gift back, Susie.
Love that so much. Also love this line from your book. You were made of both the dust of this earth and the happiness of the highest heaven. And that really is the miracle and the mystery, isn't it? That, you know, we're small and insignificant really apart from him, but we're never apart from him, and we're everything to him. So talk about that idea that we are made of both the dust of the earth and the happiness of the highest heaven.
You know what? Jesus comes, God incarnate. He pulls on skin in that Bethlehem manger. And now we get to go ahead and incarnate Christ into the world. We get to go ahead and, us with flesh on now, get to go ahead and bring the love of heaven, the joy of Christ out into the world. So as Jesus was incarnate, God incarnate come to earth, now we get to be Christ incarnate out into the world. The mystery and the joy of that lays me low and ignites me all at the same time, Susie.
And as you talked about, you know, these million expressions of God's love through us and how we, you know, we can be this necessary miracle in the lives of others, we're changed in the process, aren't we?
Oh. That's the most wonderful thing, that when we decide to be the gift, give it forward today, be the gift to other people, we get the gift of joy and the gift of becoming more like Christ in that sacrificial love. And I think, you know, that's what I love about going through this book, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift. On each of the pages, at the end of each of the stories, there's this family activity that's super small, super simple, that encourages us to be just that. If we're unwrapping the greatest gift, can we then take that gift and give it to those all around us so they might experience more of the love and the wonder and the joy found in Jesus Christ?
Well, we just have about a minute or two before I ask you to pray, but I loved this insight too. You said that the greatest gift we can give back to our great God is to let His love make us glad. That just made me smile, Anne. But this is where we really so often live through our lives as Christians and never consider that His love can and should make us glad, because we still don't always grasp it. So talk about that.
Well, you know what? Sometimes we're looking for the gladness to come from things.
True.
From other things, as opposed to, you know, when I am in Your presence, Lord, I am just going to thrill and delight and let You make me glad just in this moment. Give me, Lord, whatever You want to give me, and I'm going to give You back my glad and grateful joy. You know what? That we could just have the greatest Christmas because we are going to live it all in Your presence. And at thegreatestchristmas.com, we have the little sticky notes for your soul is what we call them. And they're just little 3x3 pieces of paper, each one for the 25 days coming up to Christmas, where we can go ahead and work it. They're just little sayings, prayers, statements, all said in I language. They're really prayers back, manifestos for no stress for Christmas, that go ahead and put us in His presence. Say, you know what, Jesus, You are going to make me glad above all else. So I've got these 25 little sticky notes for my soul that are no stress for Christmas. I'm just going to concentrate and focus on Jesus. This is Christmas. Keep calm and stay focused on Jesus. That's it.
And we have linked up her website on our show page, so just so you know that that's there. And this has been a sacred time, as it always is when you come on. And I know you're a busy gal, and the fact that you would give us this time means so much to me. And wondering if you would just pray for all of us, and that we would open our hands and our heart and make room for Jesus this season.
Heavenly Father, we thank You that you come to us and call us beloved. You come and say, be mine and I will be yours. And we pray, Lord, that this Christmas we would want to unwrap the greatest gift, more and more of Your love, the unspeakable gift of You redeeming us and saving us and making us Your own. We pray, Lord, that not only would we unwrap this great gift of Your love, but that then we would turn around and be the gift, Your great gift, to a world that needs to know Your love. We just thank You, Lord, for Your unspeakable gift. We pray that we might unwrap it in our families and unwrap it in our streets and our communities, that the light of Christ might light our homes and warm us all this Advent. We pray this in the name of Jesus, the only one who ever loved us to death and loved us back to life. Amen.
Wow. I'm speechless. Anne, thank you for this time.
Oh, thank you. God go with you. And blessed sacred Advent. And Merry Christmas.
And to you. And don't forget to check out Anne's beautiful book, Unwrapping the Greatest Gift. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who would be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.